We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Happy Monday. What a weekend it was in Wisconsin, for sure. Really kind of made me better appreciate the college town and just the impact economically that colleges have in our entire state. I mean, college towns really, really matter. Milwaukee is one, when you think about it, the high density of all the 2 and 4 year schools and universities together, they rise. And even with changing population dips and demographics, access to learning, research, and connections truly, truly matter. You look at it demographically, students make up almost one quarter of the population in Milwaukee. There are 19 colleges within a 10-mile radius of the city. And even college towns from way out of town, like Alabama. Alabama was in town to play the Badgers, obviously in Madison, but several bar owners in the area in greater Milwaukee told me that their places were packed with Alabama fans on Sunday for NFL football. So there is that trickle effect of college towns across the area, and it's fun to see. Today, we're going to go back to school a little bit. We're going to learn which area college ranks highest for post-graduation salaries. The Wall Street Journal just released its list of best schools in the country. Several Wisconsin schools made this list, but one truly is in the money when it comes to salaries right after graduation. Then Dave Spano, CEO of NX Wealth Management, will join us. We'll dive into saving for college, look at all the rules and tools, and of course, we'll get his take on the markets and rates and what will happen this week. But as we do each and every morning on The Upswing, let's go to up.
Now it's time for the
2 up
on The Upswing.
Two stories that I'm seeing in the business world, community and commerce base, that you need to know about. This is connections, 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 and $25 million. Better connecting our city's neighborhoods and making our cities safer is a priority. The city of Milwaukee has been awarded $25 million, a $25 million federal grant to fund a complete transformation of nearly a 2 mile stretch of West Center Street. The Safe Streets and Roads for All implementation grant will allow the city to reinvest in Center Street and add enhanced pedestrian crossings, protected bike lanes, traffic boarding improvements, street trees, and many, many more traffic calming measures. The total project budget is $31.25 million, which includes $6.25 million. It's a local match requirement that the city will contribute. According to Mayor Cavalier Johnson, "I'm grateful for this investment. To be clear, this is more than just a road project. The grant will significantly improve the neighborhoods along these 2 miles of Center Street." Just a little aside here, you think, Center Street, was it named for its place? No, it's not the center of Milwaukee. The street was named for Alexander J. Center, an army lieutenant who in 1836 helped come up with the idea that opened up Milwaukee's harbor to bigger ships. He helped engineer a straight cut from Lake Michigan to the Milwaukee River, about a half mile north of the river's natural opening to the lake. So in gratitude, city officials named Center Street after the engineer. How about that? Next up, jobs, jobs, jobs. The job recovery from the coronavirus pandemic in 2020 has been steady but a bit uneven on the industry and county by county front, according to a new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Employment in Wisconsin in 2023 was just over 2.9 million, 1.2 more than in 2019. The recovery has been a little uneven geographically. The report says fewer than half the state's counties reaching pre-pandemic employment levels in 2023, including many where jobs were growing in the years leading up to the pandemic. Couple facts here. Counties that added jobs the fastest between 2019 and 2023 included a mix of urban and rural. They were led by Lafayette County at 15.5, Calumet County 13.9, Kenosha County at 8.5, and Chippewa at 7.1% for growth. Next up, we'll get Dave Spano's take on the state of the state here in Wisconsin and our economy, and then we'll explore the rules and tools for saving for college. This is The Upswing. It's Monday, and we are presented by Horicon Bank.
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's The Upswing's Coffee Index.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Where'd you get your morning coffee or whatever beverage you like to indulge in the morning? It's Monday. You had to stop somewhere. I took a little different route to work this morning, and it was great. I walked into the Dunkin' Donuts in Whitefish Bay on Silver Spring, Producer Jazz, and the great thing was our sister station, The Truth, was on, and I'm like, hey, that's Denise and Telly. That was awesome. So I got a 16-ounce coffee. $3.20. You got to add the 18-cent state tax, and then you got that 2%, or not 2%, 2-cent stadium and local tax. So it's $3.40, but service was super friendly. You know, got me along my way. What about you, Jazz? I think we both went national today.
Yeah, so I was kind of remembering that across the street from us, there's a Subway Cafe, which is... interesting.
Yes, yes.
It's like, it's one of those weird alt restaurants, like a Taco Bell Cantina, which I don't think we have one of those.
We don't, no.
But, you know, I went inside, and it looked like a Subway, and there were some nice chairs to kind of make it look like it was a cafe. There were empty bookshelves, which, you know, there's always a nice when you have a cafe that has bookshelves right. You can read from. I did that once in San Francisco. But nice. I'm like, it was really weird vibes. But anyway, I decided to get a coffee there, because it's cafe, and I checked. It was open at 7 a.m., so
right,
I stopped by after my bus ride. I got a medium coffee and one chocolate chip cookie because I'm a cookie addict.
Okay.
And that total came out to $3.38.
Ooh,
but, right. You know, it was pretty mid, which I kind of expect for a coffee I got from Subway.
Yeah, yeah.
But it led me to a question, because when I got the end, I got some specks on my tongue.
Ooh.
Do you normally get grounds in your coffee when you order it, or is that just a bad sign?
Every now and then you'll get it. I think sometimes with decaf, for some reason they're not brewing it consistently, and sometimes you get a couple specks of grounds. It shouldn't happen. If it happens, you'll just bring it back and bring it up.
We'll see.
All right, very good. All right, yeah, that Subway Cafe right on Plankington and Wisconsin Avenue. Used to be a coffee house before that, so that's the change there. All right, Dave Spano, happy Monday to you. Thanks for joining us. And how's your coffee this morning?
We have a little coffee maker here at the office, old school.
All right. You know,
but I certainly liked listening to the squeeze. That's got to be 40 years old, Jeff.
I know. Well, you know, you got to find the song that's relevant. I love it too.
And unfortunately, I remember when it came out.
So. All right. Well, just as part of my two-up, I was looking at that Wisconsin Policy Forum report. And as you work with your clients, what are you hearing about Wisconsin's economy? Obviously, kind of our population's aging a bit. There's lower birth rates, maybe a little weaker net migration figures have resented. It kind of resulted in this, you know, shrinking working age population. How does that affect our state's ability to kind of grow our base?
Well, you have to think about, you know, where we stand as a manufacturing society and state. So, you know, about 15% of our population is in manufacturing, the workforce population. And that's probably twice the size of the United States. I think that's about 8. So pretty close to twice the size is in manufacturing. But you did mention the fact that we're having a shrinking working age population. And the fact is, there is positive net migration in the country, and 32 of the 50 states have had that. Wisconsin's not one of those, but there's a lot of things that you have to think about when you think, why is that happening? One of them is, you know, what's the job environment? What's the climate? You can't change the climate, right? So we are who we are, and you know, obviously states like Texas and Florida are having net migration, but The other things you have to think about is what's the tax policy? What are the public services like? What's crime like? What are the cultural climate? You know, if you want to go to a red state or a blue state, I mean, what does that go into your decision-making process? So, you know, if you think about the biggest predictor of where people go, it is really where you were born. That was generally always the way it was.
Yeah.
But before that, Jeff, it was where the jobs were, right? And you can go all the way back to, you know, European migration for the last 150 years. They came to a certain spot because they had someone there. There was a job opportunity. And that's no different than what is happening now on the southern border. Some are looking for asylum, but some are looking for a better opportunity. This is a better opportunity both for crime, for economics, and the rest. And so people are coming here because Wisconsin and the United States has always been an opportunity economy.
Yeah, without a doubt. For sure. So as you look at obviously the chances of the Fed kind of kicking off its easing campaign with a half point cut, have picked way back up. What's your prediction for Wednesday?
Yeah, it's about 50-50 right now. Right. 25 basis points is very, you know, obviously the fact that we're going to get 25 basis points is always already cooked in. But does it get to 50? Betting odds have it about 50-50 right now. But if it does, there's a lot that's going to go into that, Jeff. And one is going to be, is the Fed being politicized? And that is always going to be the conversation. If it's 50 points, because they're not going to meet again until after the election.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they do 50 basis points now, is it political or is it a sign that the economy is weaker than we think, and that perhaps there's some economists, about a third of them, who say we are at the precipice of a recession and not a soft landing. So how the market reacts to that will be very dependent upon not really what the cut is, but what the Fed says, what is their messaging that comes out of that meeting.
Yeah, and chances are we won't know that until 6 months, 12 months, right. 18 months right. down the road. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah, so we'll look to see what Powell says after the meeting, and you know, will he talk about, yes, inflation has come down, but the job markets are really slowing down, and that's going to be a cause for concern.
All right, very good. Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management, joins us. When we come back, we'll talk about, you know, the new tools around saving for college, and what if my college fund is full, but my son gets a scholarship? What can I do with that money? This is The Upswing. We are presented by Horicon Bank.
That's money. Money, 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 money.
Welcome back. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management. Dave, obviously school's back in session, and those of us with juniors and seniors in high school, even grandpas, grandmas looking to plan for next steps, obviously been planning for a while, but as you work with clients, what are your general save for college tips?
Well, the easy one for sure is get your homework done, so perhaps you might get a scholarship, right? So
right.
That's the easiest one for sure, but number two is, obviously, the 529 plan is an excellent opportunity, and it's a way to save. And a lot of people are doing it. Our clients are doing it. And, you know, I personally did it, and, you know, we saved a lot of money. In fact, I did a really good job saving for my daughter's education. Mm. And when she spent a year in London, you know, one of the things I found out is even though you can save really a lot of money, what you can't do is take money out of the 529 to send your wife to London three times, you know, because that is not one of those things that you can
do. That's not covered? No.
That's not covered.
Okay,
no.
Well.
But yeah, 529 plans are obviously really good, and we're going to see some new rules as well.
Yeah.
So let's
say that, you know, someone's been saving in 529 for years, and you get a scholarship, or you go to a different school that's not as expensive. What can you do with that leftover money? Can you roll it over?
Yeah, well, one of the first things you would do is, what kind of car do you drive, Jeff?
We have a RAV4. We have a Nissan Rogue. Right. I'm sorry, and then I have a BMW i3. So
all right, so yes. We won't put that on the BMW. But
no.
We'll put
all
this
right.
on the RAV4 is a bumper sticker that says, "I'm spending my kids' inheritance." Have you seen those bumper stickers? That's the first.
Yes.
Thing
okay. All right.
All right. No, but seriously, what you can do, the new, starting in 2024, it's called Secure 2.0 Act. If you folks are interested in that, just go ahead and take a look at it, Google it, call us. But there is an opportunity to roll that money over now, which is pretty cool. So if you don't use it for whatever reason, you can roll it over. What has happened in the past is if kid one doesn't use it, kid two could get it.
And is that still available?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can do that. Send it to one of the other children or send it to a niece or nephew, or now you can roll it over for your own benefit as well.
Okay, very good. So as you're talking with clients, you know, how are parents and families kind of analyzing that ROI of college choice today? Is it different than it was several years ago?
Well, you know, so the return on investment is an interesting question because I think it's slightly different. You have to think about what school you're going, how much you're paying, and what the kid is taking, right? So, you know, some schools have, and there's ROI studies that are out there, but, you know, the Ivy League schools have good ROI measurement, and, you know, state schools, University of Wisconsin, Marquette, have good ROI. And then you think about schools like for perhaps, you know, Whitewater, which a lot of folks go out and get jobs. So the return on investment is there. There's no question. There's lots of studies that the lifetime earnings of a college degree outweigh the cost. But it really depends on a lot of circumstances. Where did you go to school? What did you study? So if you study basket weaving, you know, maybe that you're not going to get you know, a job in that. But perhaps business administration, medical, law, those type of things, then you see the ROI come back. So you have to look at it and what you're taking, kind of grades you're getting, and experience that you get. If you go just to fool around at school and drink and play poker, you're probably not going to get the same out than someone who's really putting all efforts in.
To your point earlier, do your homework, put in the work, and you know, enjoy the experience and make the most of it. I mean, that's truly what higher education is all about. No matter where you're going, you're building that community for a lifetime.
No question about it.
That's the important thing. So what else are we seeing this week, and what else do we have to look forward to in the markets?
You know, obviously, the big story is Wednesday. Wednesday at 2 o'clock, we will go live after the announcement and see what Chairman Powell has to say. So obviously, that's a really big story. We've been talking about it, as you know, for a long time.
Yeah.
The Bank of England and the Bank of Japan are Thursday and Friday of this week. And remember, we're talking about retail sales and industrial productions on Tuesday. So a lot of data. Obviously, we're in election season, so every little piece of data could perhaps move in the election.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Hope you're having a great Monday. So last week, the Wall Street Journal announced their best colleges in the U.S. for 2025, a list of 500 schools. Milwaukee School of Engineering, MSOE, came in 165 on this national list, third highest in the state of Wisconsin. I'm going to give you that full list in a minute. But number 12 in the U.S. for something that really, really counts, as we were talking with Dave Spano about previously, number 12 in the country for salaries with a nearly perfect score for its graduates. You look at the full list, by the way, and you can find it at the Wall Street Journal. Princeton was number one. Marquette came in at 55. UW-Madison at 73. And as I said, MSOE at 165. Also really high for MSOE, the years to pay off net price they excelled in, and also learning facilities, lots of new things on the MSOE campus. So I'm excited this morning to have Saj Thasankar join us. Saj is the Vice President of Marketing and Community Engagement at MSOE. Saj, how's your Monday going so far?
It's going great, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So how's the school year going so far at MSOE?
It's been terrific. So a few weeks ago, we had moved in and had the chance to hand out popsicles to incoming families as they're moving in. And we welcomed one of our largest ever incoming classes to campus. And that's coming off a year where we had the most applications and admits in university history. And I think one of the things that was kind of exciting to see, it also represents the most diverse class in terms of gender and cultural diversity, which has been a challenge in STEM-related fields.
That's great. That's great. And it's got to feel good, really good, to rank in the top 3% for salaries, right? I mean, the data kind of consistently shows that MSOE graduates, you know, it's an engineering school at the core, but there's other programs. You're looking at that $70,000 to $80,000 range, but you're 11 spots away from MIT.
Yep. Sounds like we have a little bit more work to do, but
that's
it was
right.
It was a very proud week on our campus. And, you know, it's always great to be recognized, Jeff, especially at a national level with a publication like the Wall Street Journal. But what I'm most proud about is the consistency of the recognition. You've probably seen we've been ranked by U.S. News and World Report, number two in the Midwest, highest average early and mid-career salaries of any college in Wisconsin, and highest ROI of colleges in Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa. And the thing that I think is the most important stat is, in addition to the salary data, that 99% employment success rate of our graduating class, that we're doing the job that we're, you know, parents are entrusting and students are entrusting us to do, provide a great education and to send them off for career success.
Yeah, I mean, and how have you seen in recent years that value proposition conversation between incoming parents and students, has that changed with families, as especially as MSOE has expanded its national presence?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I think that the core value proposition has stayed the same since 1903. The way that we operate is we have labs, not lecture halls, and we feel that our students learn best, you know, by doing and being taught by faculty who are experts in their field. We don't have TAs. A typical class size is 20 to 1, so students get highly individualized attention. So that has really stayed the same. What I think we've done is enhance the value proposition. As you mentioned earlier, we've transformed our campus, improved our facilities, our residence halls, expanded co-curricular offerings in athletics and club sports. And all of that is done thanks to the support of regents, donors, and corporate partners. So not a penny of tuition dollar. A penny of tuition dollars needs to be used to make those enhancements.
Yeah, and you've really enhanced the greater downtown neighborhood. You just celebrated 5 years of Dirks Hall. The school's truly been on the forefront of AI there. Tell us a little bit about Rosie, for those that don't know who Rosie is at MSOE.
Sure. Rosie is our NVIDIA-powered supercomputer. This summer, she received an upgrade, and this is beyond my technical grade, but that includes two NVIDIA DGX H100. So I think MSOE was the first in Wisconsin to deploy that type of supercomputing hardware. And we need this type of horsepower to deliver the scale and demand to meet the massive kind of computing requirements our students demand every day in the work they do.
All right. When we come back, more with the Vice President of Marketing and Community Engagement at MSOE. Milwaukee is a college town. I've always said this. But as MSOE plans for the future, how are they addressing the needs of students and the school's needs to drive revenue? This is The Upswing. We're presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing. Going back to school, the Wall Street Journal's College Pulse 2025 Best Colleges in the U.S. ranking is out, looking at the top 500 schools in the country, and they break it down a ton of different ways. But when you look at all their different metrics, Marquette, 55. We've had a lot of talk in text line, 855-616-1620. Questions about this, so I'm just going to give you the quick rundown. 73. For University of Wisconsin-Madison, 165 for MSOE, Milwaukee School of Engineering, 213 for the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, 275 at Eau Claire, 341 up at River Falls, 351 for the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Carthage College, 357, and 453 for Lawrence University. You can check that all out at the Wall Street Journal's site. Saj Thassankari, the Vice President of Marketing and Community Engagement at MSOE, joins us. So, Saj, as I've always said, you know, Milwaukee is a college town. I mean, fully the city comes alive when the students come back. I mean, how are you continuing to look at addressing the needs of, especially from the recruitment and retention lens, as we build the infrastructure in Milwaukee?
Yeah, Jeff, I mean, revenue is critical to us, right? And one of the things I think, two things I'll point to was the addition or hiring of Dr. John Walls as our fifth president. He really expanded our reach beyond being a regional university to being one that is drawing from all across the country, our incoming class. You know, traditionally, we'd be 70-30, mostly in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Our incoming class is 50-50, represents 26 different states. So we've broadened that. The second is what we talked about earlier, that transformational gift from Dwight and Diane Derricks to build the Derricks Computational Science Hall.
All right. Well, speaking of new presidents, you are the incoming president for the 2024-25 Rotary Club of Milwaukee. Congratulations.
Thank you, Jeff. It's an honor to serve.
For sure. So give us the Rotary 101 for those who've never been or don't know what Rotarians are all about.
Sure. And just to provide some context, you know, books like Bowling Alone by Robert Putnam, another book by Jonathan Haidt, The Anxious Generation, kind of chronicle the increase in loneliness, anxiety, and the impact on physical and mental health because we've become increasingly disconnected from one another. And they talk about how social structures and clubs like Rotary can help. So I like to think about Rotary in kind of three concentric circles. The first one being you. Our programming is based around a Tuesday lunch program where you get away from your desk, meet with other Milwaukee leaders, and go beyond networking to really build meaningful relationships. The second one is local. You know, as you hear from these speakers who are sharing things happening in your community, and you can decide to get involved, whether that's just spreading the word or rolling up your sleeves and directly getting involved. And one example there might be our Rotary Scholarship Program, where we're providing financial and mentoring support to first-generation students. The third is really global. Mm-hmm. You know, Rotary is part of a global operation. And so all of us can watch the news, for example, about what's happening in Ukraine and feel powerless to do anything. But being a member of Rotary allows you to tap directly into that connection. And our members got together to collect, package, and send, you know, much-needed food and medical supplies to the people there. So you can make a direct contribution.
All right. Very good. So what are some of the goals of your presidency, other than embracing family? Because, right, your father was a past Rotarian president as well, right?
That's right. Yep. So I needed to check that off the list because there's no way my dad was going to let me say no. But I'd say, you know, the three things, Jeff, is telling our story, kind of what we're doing today, engaging our current members, and certainly recruiting new ones. We have a strong membership of about 350, but we're always looking for great new leaders to join.
Very good. Recruitment and retention, whether it's at MSOE or the Rotary Club, key and vital to continuing to build community. Saj Sasankari from MSOE joins us, and I know you got a busy week, so I'm going to let you go. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll see you again soon, Saj.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you. When we come back, WTMJ Cares and how you can get involved to save and enhance a plane at Mitchell Field. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, led by John McCure from Wisconsin's Afternoon News. We're raising money to restore the F-4 Phantom fighter jet near Mitchell International Airport. If you've ever wondered about the significance of the military plane near the entrance of Mitchell Field, well, we have that story for you. And it really hits you in the heart. And on Friday, John McCure will join us, along with Harold Mester, the Director of Public Affairs and Marketing at MKE, for an even deeper look into this story. But for now, let's take a listen.
Lance Sijohn was an All-American boy. He was All-Conference in football at Bayview High School. He was president of his class and starred in the school musical. Charlie Larson became friends with Lance in kindergarten. They stayed close and were best friends for the next 20 years.
A leader is someone who has lots of followers. And Lance had lots of followers because he helped all of us around him elevate our game so we all became better.
Lance's sister Janine was 12 years younger than him and remembers the day he left for the Air Force Academy.
I was almost inconsolable that I was in such tears.
The classwork at the academy was tough, but Lance thrived on the physical part of the training and he worked hard in the classroom. After graduation from the academy, Lance became an F-4 Phantom fighter pilot. He knew his deployment to Vietnam would be dangerous.
And said, I will not be captured. I will not give in. And there was a great foreboding in his voice.
In Vietnam, the 25-year-old was almost immediately in harm's way. Lance sent this recording home to his family.
Of course, this place isn't really too secure an area. All night long, you can hear the artillery going off in the background.
November 9th, 1967. Lance and Colonel John Armstrong lifted off into the dark Vietnam sky on Lance's 52nd combat mission. Their F-4 streaked to the Ho Chi Minh Trail in Laos, The plane rolled into its target in the jungle below and released its bombs. The bombs were defective and exploded prematurely, engulfing the F-4 in a fireball. Lance ejected, was knocked unconscious, and landed in the jungle with a fractured skull, compound leg fracture, and a mangled hand. A few days later, the Sijons got a knock at their Bayview front door.
I said, "Mom, there's two Air Force men here." She knew what that meant. And she just went down to her knees. You could see the terror in her eyes before they spoke. I heard the back door opening, and I heard the usual whistle of my dad whistling through the back door. I heard his big dress shoes, heavy soles, walking through the kitchen. And as he turned the corner, he saw the two Air Force men. And his head went back, and he howled like an animal. And he said, "No, no, no, no."
Severely injured, Lance evaded capture for 46 days.
There were times he would sit up against a tree and try and determine how many feet could he crawl again. Could he do 10 feet? Could he do 20 feet? And he would pass out from exhaustion.
When he was finally taken prisoner, Lance had gone from 220 pounds to 80. He was taken to a bamboo prison in the middle of the night. And the next day, one of his academy classmates and a fellow prisoner of war, Guy Gruders, saw Lance and didn't even recognize the shell of his friend.
I said, "Who are you?" And he said, "Lance." I said, "Lance who?" He said, "Sijon." I said, "Oh, no, not Sijon. Not Sijon. Not Sijon." I was honestly in shock. I can literally pick him up in my arms like a baby.
Days turned into weeks, and Lance was tortured relentlessly, yet refused to give his captors any information.
He wouldn't answer anything else, so they beat him, and they beat him on his wounds.
As his condition deteriorated, his fellow POWs begged Lance to save himself by answering questions. He refused to break the code of conduct.
I'm just so sad. The tears, my face is covered in tears.
Guy held Lance, his last moments in that dirty, cold, wet North Vietnamese prison.
When they took him out of there, he just called for, "Dad, Dad, I need help. Dad, I need you. Dad."
The last moment of his life, the last moments when he spoke, were not in hatred for the enemy. They were in love for his father.
Lance Sijon's family received his Medal of Honor 8 years after he died.
The guy is a hero for all ages. I mean, for the whole country, not just Milwaukee or Wisconsin.
I will be forever grateful for how he influenced my life.
Chris Cassidy runs the National Medal of Honor Museum.
To think about not only just surviving, but evading capture that whole time, it's just truly inspirational.
Now the plane and plaza that bear Lance's name at our airport are in need of repair.
We really have to do better at making sure that this looks presentable and honorable to keep the legacy and the story of Lance alive.
Dan Buttry is the president and CEO of the War Memorial Center.
Let's help pull this together and give this man the dignity in his memory. We owe it not just to the Sijon family, but we owe it to this community. His story represents us. He was born and grew up in Bayview, Wisconsin.
John Merkier, WTMJ News.